Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we talk about high-end PCs, what's realistic and what is really excessive. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain. Well, welcome back to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. It's been, a couple of weeks. We're doing this as a main show. And if you follow our normal cadence, the main show releases on the 10th of every month, and this is going to be coming out slightly after that.
Absolutely. And we are affected, as a lot of the world is, by the pandemic. Thank you for that delay.
Yeah, the over and over and over. Well, that, and I did some traveling. I got to go to Texas for the first time ever. There's a lot of technology in Texas. You know, there's a couple of YouTubers there. Kyle from Hard OCP.
Nice.
He was famously headquartered in Texas. I'm not sure exactly where. I think it was outside of Dallas or something like that. And I got to go to Dallas proper. Never been. It reminds me a lot of like downtown Chicago, where you have a lot of money, a lot of big buildings, a lot of roads, a big belt that goes around the city.
Right.
And then once you leave the city, there is a definite buffer of absolutely nothing.
Oh, no.
And then you get out to the suburbs. So, I stayed in Richardson, which is a couple of miles one direction of Dallas, and it's kind of like a suburb. It's kind of cool, actually, because it reminded me a lot of the cities around here, where you have a downtown area, and then you have like roads of residential and commercial, and it's older. So it reminds me of like the north end of Boise, where we have houses that were built in the 70s and 80s. And never really been updated. They've been maintained, but not really updated. Well, that's a lot of Texas. There was a heyday in the 70s and the 80s when oil was discovered and whatnot.
A lot of oil money.
And now there's not so much.
Sounds like a fun trip.
Yeah. Before we move on, I now know why people love Texas so much. And I've also realized that it's not for me.
Oh, I mean, how so?
Well, it's hot. It's very, very dry. Very dry. There's not a lot of water anywhere. Everyone's yard kind of just looks brown, humid. And it probably has the worst traffic I've ever been in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you want to get someplace to the other. It's a lot like in LA, where it doesn't matter where you're going, it always takes a half hour. Well, no matter where you're going in this area, it took a half hour to get there. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's terrible.
No, a different population there. And, different style of living. The Texans are very proud.
They are. And for some reason, every Texan has a lot of money, or they don't have any money at all.
Wow. Interesting.
And unlike here, where we have kind of, we have classes where it's, we have the super rich, which we never see. And then we have everybody else. And then you have the not so fortunate who want to be seen.
Well, a couple of things, Dennis, spring to mind. One is that it is also hot here.
Yes. And I should mention that we are filming in Hardware Asylum Labs Building 2, a.k.a. the garage. We've mentioned this several times on the podcast, where it's really an untreated, it's a real garage. To the right of me is the black truck. It's an S10 lowered extra cab. We've talked about it a couple times in an extra. Right. Behind that is my MV Agusta, which sprung a gas leak.
No.
So it's under the knife trying to get fixed. And it's been 100 and some odd degrees outside today, so we have the garage door open. It's a little bit cooler, but we also have people mowing the lawn at 10 o'clock at night, right before the sun goes down. So
there you go. This is real and live and hot, if we didn't mention hot.
It's hot.
The second thing that springs to mind, though, is your divide between the money, which I think brings me to something interesting I wanted to talk about. Remember back in the day, and it hasn't been that long, it seems like, when, we used to go to the store and buy magazines, which makes me sound dated, it feels like.
Well, we can still buy magazines, but some of them are of the adult nature, and some of them are of, like, the guns and ammo nature. There's not really a lot of computer magazines anymore.
Exactly. So one of the great events for us, especially as we were coming to age in the hardware market, was Maximum PC's Extreme Build issue. So just to set the stage on that a little bit, also Maximum PC very proudly used to feature what they thought was the best extreme gaming PC, no holds barred, and it was their cover issue, and it sold like wildfire. Now, that issue also had a mid-range and an entry-level gaming PC, and we have used that as our model off and on for years here.
We have a couple of episodes dedicated to them. If I can find them, I will link them down in the show notes below. Otherwise, you got our 11-year back catalog to go and listen and find for yourself.
Fair enough. Well, I do want to point out that Maximum PC is no longer with us except for in magazine form. So you can still buy it and subscribe. But their online presence some years ago merged with PC Gamer, which is one of the many reasons you hear us reference PC Gamer so much on the podcast.
Yes. The whole reason, man, we're getting full circle to full circle again. The whole reason this came up was because I saw an article that highlighted the death of the boutique build. And I'm thinking to myself, well, we've talked about boutique builds before. And that was, for instance, like CyberPower PC. And then we have other boutiques like Digital Storm. And there's one that's sold at Best Buy, places.
And even HP has the Omen, which they brought in-house. And that's kind of a boutique.
Yeah, kind of. Well, and then Alienware.
All of those sort of in-house teams.
Yeah, they're the high-end version of what you would normally just buy off the shelf. It costs a little bit more, but you get a little bit more from it. And for instance, Digital Storm, I like to make fun of them a lot after CES. You know, you go meet with them and stuff.
Right?
And they show me their top-of-the-line workstation build, you know, that they would sell to high-end businesses and 3D modelers and stuff. And these would be full-tower aluminum chassis, sometimes custom-made for Digital Storm, which is, I give them kudos for designing their own chassis.
Right.
Inside this build, it would be completely water-cooled, usually 2 to 3 radiators, 4 graphics cards,
wow,
all linked together in SLI. This was in SLI times. And we have massive storage. And the idea is that they were building the best and fastest computer that you could currently buy that they put into an actual chassis that you could purchase. And these would be in the order of like $20,000.
Wow. Well, I guess if you need it.
Well, and some of that was obviously just the labor to put it together because these chassis were also painted with automotive grade paint. So they would have a nice pearlescent in them. It wasn't a wrap. These were actual physical things that people were putting effort into. So that's where a lot of this extra cost came in. But then, if you think about it, we have our chip shortage that happened, our pandemic that shut down the world. And we have the scarcity of graphics cards because of the mining and the bulk hoarding and gouging of prices and whatnot. When that happened, were you still able to make a $20,000 PC?
Well, ooh, not quickly, I bet.
Not really, no. And would people still buy that? And then I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, well, this machine that I just talked about, the 4 graphics cards. Well, with modern motherboards and the fact that SLI is quote unquote dead, you don't see motherboards that support more than 2 graphics cards anymore. And a lot of the boards you can buy only support really 1 graphics card. They have an extra slot where you can put a graphics card in there, but it was never designed for that. It really speaks to the change in dynamic and the change of technology killed these high-end builds like this.
And you make a good point. I also feel like it's a little bit sad, though, in a way, because we've seen all that stuff kind of go to the wayside, and a lot of it was supply and demand. I mean, you just can't get 2 cards, although it's gotten a lot better now, and I'm just taking a quick look at the market while we're talking here, and you can buy cards now, a lot of them for under MSRP for the first time in 2-3 years, maybe.
Yeah, like 3080 Ti's, I think, what was it, $900 that we saw them?
Yeah.
And that was like when it launched, that was a $1,000 graphics card. And then assuming you could buy one, they were close to 2,000 because of all the gouging and the people that purchased them just to have them, you know, and try and make some money off of it.
Well, the good news is that it's finally appropriate, maybe is the right word, or at least time to where if you've been waiting to build a PC, you probably could start looking. I'm not sure it's time to pull the trigger, but it's no longer that spot where I would say, oh, geez, no, you're just going to get destroyed and overpay.
At the time that this was recorded, there is rumors of a recession coming in, which means that we have a bit of an oversupply, partially because the chip shortage is not necessarily over, but these companies ramped up production. So now we have an oversupply of things, and we have not the same demand that we had before.
Let's reel this back in a little bit, Dennis.
Yeah.
Let's start with Digital Storm.
All right, Digital Storm. So if we go to Digital Storm right now, I was looking for this $20,000 build.
Yes, because we want to see if they're still available or if they become available again.
Well, if we go to Digital Storm, they have a fairly nice website.
Money, no object, right? Because I am starring in the latest blockbuster and I've got to have a custom PC.
All right, so if we go down here, we have desktops, laptops, and workstations. Workstations, here we have multiple graphics cards. Well, let's just click on that.
Let's take a look.
See what we can get. We'll go to desktops after that. We have some marketing material in here, faster results, industry partner, expertly built lifetime support. You know, that was all this famous stuff that they would always give us when we talked to them during CES. We have a selector workflow, right? Engineering studio, data science. I'm looking at the prices here. They're starting at $2,400.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
$2,700. So we're going to pick studio. Let's view some solutions. This is for video editing. Basically, it looks like a Threadripper. So we got a 64-core processor, 5.2 gigahertz with turbo boost, 2 terabytes of memory, 2 graphics cards.
Interesting.
Now, the picture is showing 4 graphics cards.
All right, we'll scroll up a little bit. I think I see a select model up at the top.
All right, let's go look.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which goes all the way to the bottom.
Interesting. So, all right, here's some choices.
All right, so Aventium Studio, unmatched level of engineering.
Starts at 419.
419, well, not 419.
I'm sorry, 4,915. I'm at a weird angle.
Yeah, there we go. So let's view the configs. All right, so we can get to 20,000 if we go with the Xeon W series.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's talk about that build. What's in it? Just for the wish lister in me.
Most of the cost is in the processor itself because we have the Xeon W 3375. This is the same processor that you could put into that big EVGA motherboard that you could buy that was water cooled and everything. It's a very expensive processor. It's like $5,000 all by itself. Something crazy like that. There's $3,000. Quattro RTX 8000 GPUs, 1 terabyte M.2 drive. So 2 terabyte M.2 drive as a scratch disk. We have data storage at 10 terabytes and Windows 11. We can also customize it, it looks like.
Yep. Well, there wouldn't be Digital Storm if you couldn't customize it.
Well, of course. Special offers, NVIDIA, face your demons. That's crazy. You know, we're doing this in live, real time, so you have to bear with us here, but...
it comes with a free mouse pad. Woo!
What? I don't need no free mouse pad. All right, so we do have the normal customizations, right? So we have the Aventium Studio Workstation chassis. We have an exterior finish, which is a black metallic matte finish. So they likely are custom painting this chassis because this is a custom chassis for Digital Storm. We can add trim finish, standard factory finish. We can change that, though, to the standard factory finish.
Oh, no.
So obviously, they don't customize that at all. We can change processor. We got a Supermicro motherboard in here. System memory is 256 gigabytes of DDR4 because that particular processor is dated. 1300 watt Silverstone power supply. Nice power supply.
Oh, it is a nice power supply. Titanium.
80 plus titanium. Expansion, no thanks. Oh, and see, we're getting into the storage and connectivity, so we can obviously adjust any of these configurations.
Dennis, if you want a floppy, they will give you a floppy.
They will? Holy crap. The one thing I like in here is we have a 1 terabyte Samsung 970 Evo as the Windows disk. And then we also have a 2 terabyte Samsung 970 Evo as a scratch or media cache. And this is where... since this is a video
for rendering, right?
Yeah, you're going to put your renderings there and stuff. And then we have our data storage, which is a 10 terabyte Western Digital UltraStar Data Center Iron Wolf disk. That's basically where you're going to save all of your stuff.
Well, it's a pretty solid drive, but I think if I'm spending 18K, I'm opting for the RAID.
Well, I would argue that yes, we do need to have data storage, but it doesn't need to be on your PC.
Oh, now that's a good point. If you're buying this as a workstation, you should probably invest in a good NAS.
Yeah, and you're going to have like your 10 gigabit network. So you're going to be able to, once you got done with your project, archive it, go get a coffee, and then come back. You know, you don't care about the transferring of the data because you're archiving at that point. So you could save some money. Obviously, a 10 terabyte drive is not that expensive compared to some of the other components in this build. But obviously, you don't need that. if you're doing this proper. But we do have RAID 1 options. We have RAID card options. We have Ethernet in here as well, which is supposed to be on the motherboard these days.
Well, that's so you can up to the higher speed if you want higher than 1 gig, probably.
Yeah. So we only have one Quattro RTX 8000 48 gigabyte graphics card. I can change it by changing the type. We can do 2X SLI NVLink GeForce 3090 Ti. Do we do Quattro? Oh, we can do Quattro.
Two Quattros.
So that's an extra $7,000.
Oh, nice choice.
All right, 26 grand. Sound card integrated motherboard audio. We have to have a good sound card. So what do we want? AE9. We have to have the AE9.
Might as well get the good Creative Labs. We love that one.
All right. So with that minor change, because obviously we need to have the two graphics cards. We would like four, but two. Yeah. It comes to 26 grand.
That's pretty crazy.
Now, in reality, would I pay 26 grand for this computer? No.
No, I wouldn't either.
Would a company that invests in doing multimedia builds like this, would they do something like that? I would say probably not.
All right. So that's the high end from Digital Storm. Is it crazy? Yes. Is it overkill? Yes. Are we the target audience? Most definitely not. Well, okay. No. So let's take it back to a little extreme before, but after that build, the extreme gaming build from PC Gamer, aka Maximum PC.
Yeah.
And they have a current one out here 23 days ago, as of the day we recorded, for 2022. Let's take a look.
All right. So I'm going to go through and just talk about the items, and then we can come back and pick it apart, because obviously if it was perfect, we wouldn't talk about it.
Oh my gosh. Well, and every build is a matter of personal taste. Our disclaimer, we're better. Wait, no.
Get off our podcast. Oh, wait, no. Listen to our podcast.
All right.
All right. So we basically have an introduction in here. You know, some of it's all about advertising stuff. But we, in the first sentence, second paragraph, it goes, just how much is this behemoth of a computer going to cost you, you ask? Well, you're looking at around $4,000.
So I want to stop here and take measure that this is not a very expensive build from the Maximum PC era.
No.
Generally, they tend to be 10, 12, 15K machines, and they're very ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, we would have 10 terabytes of storage that was super, super expensive, and that was where a lot of the cost came in. And sometimes they would also include the monitors as well, because you need to have, you know, high resolution, high refresh monitors to get the most out of your PC.
Dennis, I haven't seen the build yet, but I'm going to say that maybe the PC Gamer merge got them a little more realistic, or it could be the shortages.
Probably a little both. All right. Well, we're going to start out with the Intel Core i9-12900K. Excellent processor.
It is an excellent processor.
It's a bit expensive. Do we want to talk price about this, or we wrap that up a little bit later?
Let's just try to do it as we go. So I'm going to do my best to follow. So the 12900K, and I will be using Newegg because I think they're the big boy still, $589.98. Again, as of the day this was recorded, your mileage may vary.
So we'll call it 600.
600. Ooh, okay.
600 bucks. And then we need to have an appropriate motherboard for this.
Okay. So what was their choice?
They picked the Gigabyte Z690 RS Pro. Now, this is a board from a company that I've reviewed a couple of 690s from.
Sure.
Gigabyte RS. I like them. I find that the higher end additions make more sense than some of the lower end ones that they have. I do have a DDR4 edition that I reviewed just recently, and I see why they made it, but it's kind of a waste of a time and effort. So obviously, if you're going to go with this, you need to get the DDR5 edition and go big.
And this is the DDR5 edition I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. And it's on sale, Dennis. If you're quick, you can push that button at $289.99. So $290.
That's not bad, actually. You know, these boards were going for $400 not too long ago. So.
Oh, well, you know, let's talk cooling before we get too carried away, but continue. Well,
cooling. Now, this is one where I tend to disagree, but again, it's mostly personal preference. We have the NZXT Kraken X62. Now, the Kraken cooler seems to be like the go-to that a lot of these online sites use. And I don't know if they're like getting NZXT money, or if it's just that they like them that much. Or maybe it's just availability. I'm not sure.
It could be. Now, NZXT Kraken wouldn't be my first choice either, but it is a 280mm system, and it is currently $182.99.
It seems excessive. In terms of specs here, it says it's got 55 CFM of flow. Most of that is because of the dual 140mm fans. Ramp those up to the 1200 RPM, and yeah, it's going to flow pretty well.
Well, it does have RGB. There is that. Although I think I would even choose a more modern look if I were looking for the RGB as opposed to just the single ring there.
Amazingly enough, I would almost go for the Cooler Master over the NZXT just because of what they've been doing by adding the RGB and adding some controllers and the way that the whole package comes together.
And of course, if you're one of our offshore folks or European, you can always go for something a little more exotic like an Ice Bear, for example.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Next, we have the graphics card. We have to have a graphics card.
Oh, now we were just talking about graphics cards, so let's see where we're at in the market. And this is the one that's going to vary most widely from when you're listening to this, right, at least if we are correct in our predictions.
Yeah. Now, according to the PC Gamer, they have the Founders Edition listed. GeForce RTX 3080 Ti, or okay. TIE, whatever. It's Ti, people.
So, but controversial because it's not actually that easy to find a Founders Edition anymore. And so I went with the cheapest one I could find on Newegg from our friends at MSI. I'm a huge fan of their video cards, so I don't consider this a downgrade at all, except for in cost. This bad boy before $30 mail-in rebate is $929.99. So $930, call it $9 even after rebate. Pretty impressive.
Less than a grand. That's crazy.
And they're going to give you $120 worth of Bethesda games if you act quickly.
Whoa, sweet. Now, of course, you could go with EVGA. That's one of our other favorites.
Yeah.
And you have different tiers of graphics card. Obviously, this is the lowest tier, so it's probably factory clocks with an upgraded cooler. That's usually the normal MSI MO. But if you go with the higher edition, then you'll get the hot clocked editions. Obviously, you won't get more RAM because that's dictated by NVIDIA.
Fair enough. Now, this one is a 12 gig OC edition, so it's not quite as basic as a Founders, but it's still a very easy and affordable card. And I'm happy to say that if you go back to even a 3080, you can shave a couple hundred off of that you probably won't miss.
Exactly, yeah. Next, we need to have some memory to go with that hungry 12900K. And I fully approve this one. It's the G-Skill Trident Z5 DDR5 6400. Now, I think we found 6,000 on Newegg.
Yeah, now a little more hunting might find a 6400, but the difference is pretty nominal in price. So the 6,000s are $329.99, so $330. Just off the cuff would tell you you're going to spend less than $30 more to up that into 6400 speed.
Right. We'll have to come back to memory because there's a lot to talk about here.
Okay.
Last or second to last, and this is the epitome of overkill, we have the Sabent Rocket Q 4TB drive. Now, the overkill here is mostly in the price and the fact that it's 4TB.
Woohoo! Now, this is a M.2 form factor, of course, but I agree that I'd like to have a 4TB, we're talking $600 here.
Yeah, $600. And this one is probably one that we're not going to come back to because obviously there's a lot that we can change. But we have the fact that this is a PCI Express 3.0 drive. We're already hindered in frequency and speed that we're supposedly getting a 4TB drive for. It's like, well, we could go with a 2TB drive, make it PCI Express 4, and lay waste to this in terms of transfer speeds.
Well, yeah, and the board supports PCIe 5.
Right, but we can't get drives at that speed just quite yet. That's the only downside.
Future-proofing, though.
4.0 is where to be. If you want a storage drive that you are just going to store games on or whatever, the PCI Express 3.0 is good, but this particular article doesn't have a distinction between the two drives.
Fair enough.
We got to have some power for this whole thing, and they picked the EVGA Supernova 1000 G5.
Now, this is a good, solid choice. We like EVGA products for this as well. Mm-hmm. It's a gold rated, so you could do better, but it does have a nice 10-year warranty, and we're looking at $175 for that bad boy, fully modular.
Oh, $175? That's actually not too bad. If I was to give a gripe, I just don't like the look of the EVGA power supplies. I think that they're a little over the top, and at least for something that you're really never going to see.
This bad boy doesn't have RGB.
No.
I think for me, I'd maybe, if you're going to spend that much on a PC, still apt for something a little better than 80 plus gold at 1,000 watts and spend a little more money.
Yeah.
To get a platinum or titanium, you're probably looking, you know, mid to high 200 ranges, but this is an area where you don't want to skimp. No. And it is the foundation that your whole system depends on.
Really, you don't need 1,000 watts for that either. You know, if you go with an 850 titanium, perfect. At least for this particular build.
And I guess I'm already digressing into talking about the build, but we're almost done.
We're almost done. Yeah, see, we want to talk about this.
Uh-huh.
All right, this last one. Oh, wow, this is super controversial. For obvious reasons, we have the Corsair Obsidian 1000D, which this is a super tower form factor, and we're going to be putting in a regular ATX motherboard. It supports extended ATX, mini ITX, which I don't know why you put that in this big case. SSI EBB, which is the extra wide ATX motherboards, which is not the Gigabyte board.
Yeah, seems like a little bit overkill.
The thing that I wanted to call out was the weight. And this is the weight of just the chassis. 65 pounds.
Wow, it's a beast. And it is giant. $500 case. Its claim to fame really is that it's giant. I'm looking at, if I'm not mistaken, this has, is it eight fans on the front panel alone, RGB?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, two in back, at least three on top.
Yeah, well, and seeing the problem is, yes, large chassis like this cool extremely well, but the build that's spec'd in here has no business being in a case that big. I mean, that's more or less, you know, having the huge belt buckle and the lifted truck with on 35s. You know, it's a great way to show off, but, you know, you don't, it's not good for fuel economy. It's really tough to get in and out of, and yeah.
Well, on the plus side, if you bought this thing, you could always build a second mini ITX system inside of it for streaming.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
So there is that. And it does support it, by the way. yeah. There you go. I mean, I'm not going to complain that it's not an amazing and beautiful case. It's just ludicrous for 99% of the world, maybe more.
Yeah. All right, so if we go back and look at the build.
Let's give a grand total first.
Oh, yeah, grand total, sorry. So as configured, Newegg.
Woohoo. Now, this is before rebates, and there are a couple of them. You're going to pay, shipped, by the way, $3,604.08.
Wow. So you still have a few bucks to stay within that $4,000.
Yeah, and I'd argue that you could spend it in a couple of pretty obvious places, like a second storage drive, for example, or a little bit better power supply. But maybe we should go component by component.
Processor. I have no problem with the processor. Obviously, you can save a few bucks by going with the 12700K. You lose a few cores. In terms of performance, you're not going to lose too much.
Now, I want to stop for a second and talk a little bit about this, because this is an Alder Lake, right? So this is the 16-core. I'm looking at it now.
Yep.
So is this similar to where you can step down like I did to a 12850K and save yourself a few bucks?
Yeah, that's the 12700K.
Oh, okay.
That's the processor that I have on the test bench. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's super powerful, super fast.
But this one comes with an Intel Arcade Geddon game bundle.
Are you really going to add that to your Steam library? I don't think so.
All right. Well, okay.
All right. Motherboard. Motherboard is really one of those things that you could just flip a coin, pick the vendor you like, and just kind of go with it. If I was to make a recommendation, I would say go with the ASUS board. I seem to like the interface and the way that those boards work over the Gigabyte one.
All right.
I was having some issues getting their whole gamer crate software to work because they don't include the driver disk anymore, at least on the Gigabyte side. On the ASUS, at least they do have that DVD with the drivers on it, which I firmly believe that every motherboard that you buy has to have a driver disk. I mean, even if they do it include it to the point where you can just fire up your computer, if you have network access, it will download all the drivers and get you up and running. But eventually, those drivers are not going to be available anymore. And if you happen to be trying to roll this into an older build and you can't get those drivers, then you might as well throw it away. That's the big issue there.
Well, I want to talk about a couple highlights on this that I like about it. Supports DDR5, has the PCIe 5.0 that we talked about, has Wi-Fi 6 built on, does the 2.5 gigabyte LAN. So this is kind of a nice future-proof choice. The price, I don't think, is terrible at $289.
No, price is good.
So again, really the only downside of this is it's a workhorse. It's not super bells and whistly on the pretty side.
No. And like I said, it's really a flip a coin. You're going to get the same basic performance out of any board you pick. Find the features you like, find the color you like, find the RGB profile you like, and that's the one you go with.
I agree.
Cooler. We've already kind of talked about the cooler. I'm not a fan of the NZXT stuff just because it's everywhere. It's kind of like, you know, how streamers all talk about, hey, I have my Corsair this, I have my Corsair that. I'm wearing my HyperX headphones you know, it's
sponsored. NZXT is kind of the gaming chair of this build. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. but much like the motherboard, you can pick any cooler out there and it'll probably work just fine. The one thing that I find it is hilarious, they have the 1000D case.
Right.
But they picked a 280. So that radiator is going to dwarf inside that chassis. You might as well have gone for like a 360 and at least like extended it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And for a premium build, I'm a little offended. I know they have to do it, but I'm a little offended that they didn't at least talk about custom cooling kits.
Oh, yeah. Like a DIY, a full loop. That's really what this particular build in that chassis, that's what it begs.
Yeah, even with soft tubes. And why don't we have a water-cooled video card, which we're going to get to?
Yeah, all right, exactly.
Moving on.
The next one, speaking of the video card, mm-hmm. you know, they picked the Founders Edition, which if you can buy them, they're usually overpriced, partially because the miners love these cards because they actually cool and perform extremely well. They can also get them out of the secondary, not in the secondary market, but the retail market that we don't have access to, which is where a lot of these cards come from. That's where they get find these cards. EVGA, for instance, they have their water-cooled cards that have a built-in AIO. So in that chassis, for instance, you just get one of those water-cooled cards, boom, boom, two radiators, you're set, ready to go.
Yeah, or you can get the ones that come with their own water cooling also. So you have two out-of-box solutions. You don't have to do anything custom.
Yeah.
Your price on that's going to be a little bit higher. You're probably...
It's like an extra $300 usually.
Yeah, maybe $1,600 instead of $1,000. But you've got that additional cooling, additional layer of quiet.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now on Newegg, and for example, you can get a Zoltec Arctic Storm is one of the few water-cooled they have. Plugs right into your custom loop, has some pretty settings on it. It's $1,300.
And yeah, if you do DIY, you want one with an actual block like that. Mm-hmm. The next one, this is the one that I was most surprised with, partially because with DDR5 and the fact that it is extremely new, people have forgotten what super fast memory does and doesn't do on a new build. So for instance, back in the day with DDR4, when that first released, we did have relatively fast modules, but you never realized the performance gain by running those because the processor was too slow. Well, we have the same problem even with Alder Lake being a hybrid CPU and the super fast memory controller. In my tests, I found that they basically top out at 5,400 megahertz. Anything faster than that, you're not gaining performance at all. All you're doing is spending a little extra money. So by picking the G-Skill Trident Z5s at 6,400 megahertz, yes, you're buying the fastest memory that you possibly can, but you're not getting any extra performance out of it. So you can save yourself half that cost by going out and buying a 52 or 5,400 kit at 32 gigabytes, and you'll have amazing performance until you get rid of the build.
Well, we've talked about this quite a bit, but this is another software ahead of hardware against software yo-yo effect. And mm-hmm. right now, the hardware, at least in the DDR5, is pretty fast.
Yeah,
it's ahead.
The memory has a lot of bandwidth that will be taken advantage of by probably the next couple of processor releases down the road. Let's see. We have the drive. We kind of already talked about this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to be doing an Alder Lake, you need to have a PCI Express 4.0 drive. If you're spending money on a 3.0, regardless of the size, you're wasting your money.
I agree. And it makes more sense to go with a more appropriate drive and then throw in a storage drive.
Exactly.
Or spend that money, as we already mentioned, on a good NAS.
Yeah, you need to have external storage, at least for anything that you find to be important. Because if your build dies, you know, everybody has their accidents where they drop a screwdriver down on the motherboard. I don't know why you had a screwdriver in your case to begin with, but crazy things have happened, right?
Absolutely. And we should do an episode on that maybe, because storage is becoming more affordable. It makes sense to get a 3-drive or 5-drive. It doesn't really matter as long as you get a name brand, and you're going to be able to use that for a really long time. So it's a good sound investment.
Oh, yeah. For instance, out of the box NAS versus building your own.
Ooh, I like it.
Yep.
Coming soon to a podcast near you.
Power supply. I would say if you're going to be spending money on a 1,000-watt power supply, don't go gold. Go platinum or titanium. At that point, just find the one that is affordable at that level. Probably 850 plus based off of the video card that was picked in here. If it was me, I would go 1,200 platinum or 1,200 platinum or 1,200 titanium.
I'm looking right now at 1,000s in platinum because that would be where I would probably head. Mm-hmm. Looks like you can get EVGA for pretty close to the same price of platinum, $160 right now.
Not bad.
$169 if you go the Supernova. And, you know, Antec has them for a little more, Corsair a little more, but
yeah, I think Silverstone had them of almost $200, but I really like Silverstone for what they produce.
And to get the really good ones, the Platinum Pluses and the Primes and stuff, you're about 230, 250 range. So we were pretty on the mark there.
Yeah. And then, of course, the chassis is the last item on the list. And that's just laughable because of everything about this case. But, you know,
they were overkill.
They were going excessive.
Ridiculous overkill. And, you know, that case gets advertised as Corsair as the ultimate super tower case. And I'd argue, well, all right, but who buys a super tower case really anyway?
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're huge, they're heavy, they are loud, bulky. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And you can get a really tremendous case. Really, the good cases start around $150, give or take.
Yep.
You shouldn't have to spend more than $200 to get a really premium case that would fit this build. And we're talking all the bells, whistles, RGB, you know, basements, you name it.
Yeah. Well, and in reality, you could go rebuild this entire system as a mini ITX. And instead of having this monster tower, you would have just a little toaster box.
Think about the footprint.
That would, you know, this thing would just fit on your desk. It would support a 3080 tie. It comes with a SFX power supply that's 850 watt titanium. It has everything in a super, super small form factor, good cooling. Obviously, it's just not as flashy. It doesn't look as great on an article, and you won't be featured on the Hardware Asylum podcast.
Well, one thing I want to point out is I'm on Newegg on the Corsair Obsidian site for the 1000D. And it lets me toggle between the 1000 and the 500D RGB SE, which is like saying, all right, let's stop being silly. Here's what you really need. If you click on the 500D, which is still maybe overkill for this build, it's only $229. Yeah. And it's a standard size case there. It comes with some RGB lighting, all the bells and whistles. It's future proof. It looks great. And look at that money we just saved. Super easy.
Super awesome.
So let's wind it up, Dennis. We looked at two extreme builds. We picked apart the second one. Let's bottom line it. Is it a good time to build a PC?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
And the reason I say that is because we are at the tail end of two product cycles. So one we've already talked about, NVIDIA's primed to be releasing the 4000 series graphics cards. So while you can buy a 30 series, and you probably should buy a 30 series, might as well wait to see what happens with the next generation. We also have the TOC version of the Intel Alder Lake LGA 1700 socket processor due to be coming out very, very shortly. That's just basically going to be a slight bump increase. Same basic package, but we're going to have new motherboards coming out, complete total refresh. At that point, we can buy the 690 stuff a little bit cheaper because there's going to be a lot of it available, or you could buy the new stuff and stay on the cutting edge.
Well, fortunately, the hardware is still pretty far ahead of software, so unless you've been nursing your PC for more than a couple of years, you probably can afford to wait.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.